Hello and welcome to another edition of Live Love by Design TV. I'm Karen Chaston, the founder of Live Love by Design and your host and executive producer of this groundbreaking TV show. And today, as always, we have these amazing guests. And we have Nadia Messihar, who actually is a family lawyer. But more importantly, Nadia fits into our All About Your Relationships and All About Your Expertise. So let's waste no more time and introduce the beautiful Nadia. How are you, Nadia?
Hi, Karen. I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. So you live in the Hills District of Sydney and you are a family lawyer, but you didn't start out in the Hills District in Sydney. Now, did you, when you came into this beautiful realm that we all like to call Earth?
Yes, that's absolutely right. I was actually born in the Sudan to Egyptian parents. So my grandparents, all four of them, moved to the Sudan. At this stage, Sudan and Egypt were all part of the same, almost same country. Didn't need a passport to go backwards and forwards. Yeah, and they just relocated there.
Was there a major reason why? Was there a war or was there just unset in Egypt that made them move?
To be honest, I think it was going to greener pastures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I was told. Yeah, and actually...
That sounds funny when you say greener pastures, and I'm sure it's a lot of sand. Is that right, or is that just maybe naive?
No, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
A bright sand. I know. We like to have fun here. So that's beautiful. So obviously growing up as an Egyptian in Sudan, was there any sort of prejudices or were you welcomed into the new community?
You know what, Karen? We were very welcomed into the community when things were going great. You know, like I said, Sudan and Egypt, they were almost treated as almost the same country with no borders. Mm-hmm. And then at one stage, you know, Egypt started saying, all right, we've got our independence. We have to close our borders now. You know, you guys are still welcome, but you need passports. And it's funny because the Egyptian community then had a choice. They were either going to become Sudanese or Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And I guess until now, they're sort of stuck in the middle where they're not Sudanese enough for Sudan. And when they go to Egypt, the accent and the dress and everything is different. And so they're not Egyptian enough for Egypt.
Yes.
Yeah, they're sort of stuck in the middle.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yes. So did you find growing up, because I believe you were the middle child of three.
Yes.
It's not easy being the middle child now, is it?
That's so true. That's so true, but it teaches you a lot. Yeah, that's
okay. So let's touch on that very briefly. What did that teach you?
So what it taught me was that, you know, I had to find a way, really. You know, whenever I wanted to get my way, I had to find a way, and I had to be careful about it. So it made me put a lot of thought into it. So obviously how I felt was I wasn't the youngest child, the spoiled boy, you know, although he's not spoiled, and I wasn't the eldest child with the eldest privileges. So for me to get my way, I had to think about things, I had to negotiate, I had to mediate, and I had to get my way even when resolving conflict with my two siblings without all at war, if I can put it that way. And I found that that's really taught me a lot of things, even in my adult life, and especially in family law.
Yes, I was going to say, so do you feel that was the grounding for you to actually want to become a family lawyer?
To be honest, it was actually when a relative of mine went through a really, really horrendous divorce. Mm-hmm. And I could see the effects on the children and I could see the effects on her. And I was going through law school at that time. And I remember thinking, that's it. I found my niche. I want to be a family lawyer because I don't want to be this becoming the story of every person that goes through a divorce, you know?
Okay. So when did you come to Australia then?
So I came in 1999.
And how old were you then?
I was 14 years old.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. You're actually younger than I thought you are. Wow.
I know. I think it's all the, you know, doing family law for so long. It's just...
Yeah. Not that you look older. I just see you as, and I guess being a lawyer, you certainly have a certain status and the way you hold yourself and the way I guess you use your words always make you seem older.
Thanks, Karen.
More mature.
Yeah, but I actually get that a lot. I get that from a lot of people. They always go, oh, you know, I didn't expect you to be that young. Yeah.
Which is good, especially when you're a family lawyer. Like I can remember going in, seeing a friend in hospital just last year, and I looked at the doctor and I thought, does he look old enough to be a doctor? Like, and that in itself, and he was 28, but he looked like he was like 17. Yeah. And as, you know, as he said, it works against him at times because people don't value his advice as much.
That's, you know, Karen, you've hit the nail on the head. Yeah. I sometimes do get that, especially when I get someone who's, you know, in their 50s or 60s and they're going through a divorce and they just look at me like, would he even know how to help me, you know, being so young?
Yeah.
But I think it's sometimes experience, like you mentioned, you know, it's not so much age as much as experience.
Yeah. So let's get into the family law side of it because I can understand why you were attracted to it, like to help a friend and to see the grief that divorce, separation causes not only to the two people who were once in love, but also to their children. And it's not easy for anyone involved. And I'm sure that a lot of people go through a lot of soul searching before they actually decide to take that next step. Is that true?
That's absolutely true, Karen. But I think what makes family law interesting is that there's always two sides to the story, and it's most difficult when the person who is left behind in a relationship, I guess, who didn't take that step, suddenly finds themselves with a relationship that's ended. A lot of, actually, statistics say 60% of men don't see divorce coming. You know, I have clients coming in telling me, we've been separated under the same roof. We've been living in different rooms, you know, of the house. We're not even talking for years. But the moment I turned around and told him it's over, it still came as a big shock.
Yeah. Have you ever read the book Radical Forgiveness?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay. I've read it just recently, and it's actually very interesting in the fact that it actually radical forgiveness comes more from a spiritual level as opposed to a forgiveness on our sort of plane, if the best way to put it.
Yeah.
In it's actually a great book, and I really do think everyone should read it because it actually helps you to see that things are not done to you, they're done for you.
Nice.
In a way to help you grow on a soul level.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it's not an easy concept for a lot of people to take on because I understand a lot of people do not believe in spirit and God and, you know, the next life and that our soul is eternal. But let's just put that to the side for the moment because when you start to understand that it's done for me, you start to ask the questions, what am I meant to learn here?
Yes.
How am I meant to grow?
Yes.
And I think from that perspective, and correct me if I'm wrong, that would help the negotiations go a little bit more smoothly because you'd get rid of the blame and the shame.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Karen. That's exactly right. It's getting rid of the blame and the shame, exactly like you've put it. I actually think of it as almost going down to basics, you know, just remembering that you, like you said, you one stage you love this person, you had a life with them, and if they want to leave, and I'm not saying this applies to every single divorce, you know, that would be completely wrong, but in many cases, if we just think, here is someone, and if I can just respect the fact that they now want to move on into the next chapter of their life, and fortunately or unfortunately, I can't be part of that chapter.
No, of course.
Let us not, you know, go at each. Let us not turn this into a war. Let us not turn this into I'm going to destroy them because it's either I'm in their life or I'm not. There's no middle ground. And let's just think about the bigger picture, you know. And that's why I think helping people go through divorce, we need to step back from just the legals into how people are feeling and how they can shift that mindset so that they can move forward, because that's the only way they can move forward.
I totally agree. But it's also about moving forward, especially when you have children, knowing that I'm still going to have to see this person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They may have been a horrible husband or a horrible wife, or, you know, not the best husband or not the best wife, but they're still a great parent, you know? And a lot of people can be both. They may not have been the best husband or wife, but they're a fantastic parent. And if we look at things from that way, I think that will help a lot, especially if we're going to be talking to them for the next, you know, 15, 16, 18 years.
Exactly. And especially when you think, well, your children are going to grow up. They're going to get married. Do you really want to be at their wedding actually still not talking to each other? I was at a wedding recently where the son who got married was from divorced parents, and they couldn't even sit together in the front to watch their son get married, which, like, I've been married for 40 years, and I've been told, you don't understand what it's like. And I say, well, do you know what? I have empathy. I think I can put myself in your shoes and understand what it would be like. But I also understand that I still think my husband and I would be friends even if we weren't married.
Yes.
Which I know sounds a bit funny, but I just feel that you did love each other once. So just for the sake of the children, only when you're around the children can't you at least be nice to each other.
Absolutely. And you know what, Karen, that brought into mind the story that I remember reading about. So someone is talking to someone about holding a grudge, and this person went, well, can you hold this glass of water for me? And they just left them holding that glass of water for like 2 hours. Yes. And by the end, the guy is like, look, I'm getting exhausted. I know it's just a glass of water, but I'm just getting exhausted of holding it. And the person responded and said, well, that's exactly what you're doing with your grudge. It may be small, it may not that big, but if you've been carrying it for a long time, for years,
yes,
can you imagine how much of your mental focus and energy it's taking?
Yes.
For using to live your life?
Yes.
And it's holding you back from living to your fullest.
Yep. And the silly part about it is the other person isn't even aware, yes, of what you're carrying. So you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting someone else.
That's absolutely right.
I just love this. Okay. So we hear about family lawyers trying to shift the focus more towards mediation and collaborative law. So what is it that you do differently to that, or is that what you do?
So that's part of what I do, but what I've discovered, Karen, is that, like I mentioned, there's no point in just focusing on the legal aspect, you know, especially when it comes to family law. We really got to look beyond. So if you think of it as circles, you know, so they're the couple divorcing, and they obviously have their support network. Some of them may be even seeing, you know, psychologists or psychiatrists to get through this period, and then they see the lawyers. And no one's talking to anyone. So the lawyers are just telling them what's happening from the legal side. And it's all well and good to say, oh, look, let's mediate. And there's this new thing called collaborative law, which is fantastic, by the way. But if the person's not in that mindset, it's just a waste of everyone's time and energy.
Let me just go back a sec, because a lot of our viewers may not know what collaborative law is. I'm pretty sure they know what mediation is. So what is collaborative law?
So collaborative law is basically telling the parties, come to the table, be as open and honest as possible, try and settle the matter outside of court. So everything's already on the table. And if we can't settle, none of what's been discussed in collaborative law can be used in court. And in fact, you can't even use the same lawyers that you use in court.
I like that.
Yeah. So it really gets people to try and focus on settling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fantastic and it's brilliant, but I think it needs the added angle of making sure everyone's ready to settle before we even go down that track. For instance, I had a matter, if I can just quickly say, we were going to mediation with the court on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 4 days before that, we received the affidavit, which is a statement of the version of the story from the other side. And it was full of the most hurtful things you can read, you know? Mm. And I just remember reading it, and I had to send it to my client because she had to respond to it. And I just remember thinking, we're not going to settle on Monday. There's no way we're going to settle after someone's read what's been here. Because when she responds back, she's going to be responding to these allegations. All the hurt is going to come welling up again. And I kid you not, we walked in on the Monday, and we just sat there for maybe half an hour, and we all knew that we were going to walk out again.
Yes.
And I thought, what a waste of everyone's time. What a waste of a wonderful opportunity the court has given us. Just because things were not in the correct mindset.
Yeah, that's interesting because in this book, The Radical Forgiveness, they actually say that you should write three letters. So the first letter where you put all that hurt in, you put it all in, you just go to town, you bring up all of your feelings, telling me exactly what it is. You never send it, of course. Then you do another one where you can start, you know, putting as much in, crying if you need to, getting rid of all those feelings, but then starting to slowly see the other side. Yes. And then on the third letter, you then, because you've got rid of all of that hurt in those first two letters, you then start to come to a place where you can actually see how it has been good for both of you, and it is also, and how, you know, moving forward is, you can come to radical forgiveness, which I think makes sense. But you do write those letters. You just don't send them. Unfortunately, sounds like your client didn't get past that first letter, which is such a shame.
It is such a shame. It is such a shame.
And very expensive, which, yeah, you know, which does not help with your wealth creation. So the four pillars of Live Love by Design, as our viewers know, are all about you, all about your relationships, all about your expertise, and all about your wealth creation. And let's face it, divorce is a very costly, a costly exercise. Most people lose half their wealth, if not more. Mm-hmm. And normally, you know, they're into their 30s or 40s after building and building and building. And that in itself brings in a lot of resentment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Karen. But I guess that's why, and if I can put it this way, that's why people need to be in the right mindset before they take that step, because otherwise it's just money leaking, you know. Yes. If you think of it as water leaking from a sieve, that's exactly what it's going to be like. You, all these holes, your emotions and the anger, it's creating holes in that pot that's getting the money leaking out. But once you address all these issues, then there is money on the table that can be resolved, you know, and everyone just gets the most out so they can start again. I get all emotional every time I think about it, because I also feel like when you're vulnerable, people can take advantage of that, you know? Yeah. So if I'm going to line my pockets because you're vulnerable, I'm not going to help you, you know?
No.
And that's why people need to be aware of where they are mentally, so that their vulnerability is not out there exposed to the open. They can address these issues and go in with a position of power when negotiating and when they're dealing with their family law.
I love that, because you, and I don't want to generalize, and I don't want to bring in probably a negative belief that a lot of people have about lawyers.
That's
that, you know, there is no reason for them to settle, because the longer it goes on. So, but I feel with you, and I have had the pleasure of knowing you for a few years, that you are more, let's do the both for everyone concerned, as opposed to just making the lawyers rich and you guys bitter, resentful, and, you know, not in a financial secure position that you could have been in if you'd settled it a couple of years earlier. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, Karen. And in fact, when doing all my, you know, business courses and business networking, I found something that's always been coming up, and it's give is gain and a win-win mindset.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, that's exactly what we need to bring into family law. This, you know, win-win mindset. And in terms of a give is gain, it's you give a little bit, you know, so that you can have the best future, the quickest future possible, you know, to go into that bridge into your new life without burning any bridges behind. So
yes,
today you may be fighting about the doona cover, but really, if you gave them the doona cover, if you gave them that little bit of control, will it matter 5 years down the track?
No.
In fact, you look back and go, I can't believe we're fighting about it, you know?
But that's not what they're fighting about.
No, it's not. Well,
it seems like that's what they're fighting about, but
exactly.
It's not.
Absolutely right.
And it's about someone,
a bit of control.
Someone saying, what's this really about? It's not about the doona. You don't even care about the doona. You've probably never even noticed the doona. What are you really fighting about?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Behind any disagreement, or any angst. It's normally not what it is. And it could come back to something that's happened in your childhood.
Absolutely, you know? Right, Karen.
And people understanding that. And that's why I love chatting with people to help our viewers understand that, you know what, we live in a world that reality probably isn't even reality.
Yeah.
I like to say we're all living in a movie. We're all chosen who we're going to be. We're all chosen, you know, the bit players in our life and all this sort of stuff. And understanding that we're all here to grow.
Yeah.
And not only personally in this realm, but also on a soul level, it sort of makes it a little bit easier to sort of sit back and go, okay, what's really happening here? Mm. You know, where do I need to heal? Where do I need to grow? And how can I do this without, you know, having a million people sort of, you know, caught up in it all?
Yes, absolutely, Karen. In fact, we always say in family lawyers, the more support network you've got, the less the chances of settling this matter quickly. Because you know, you sometimes have a chat to a client and you convince them about something and they see your point of view and they go outside and there are people who are hurting for them and they just bring all that hurt back in and they just move back in again.
Yeah.
Now the deal is off the table. You're like, what? You know?
I'm laughing because I just know exactly what you're talking about. And even though these people think they're doing the right thing for you, they're actually not.
They're not, exactly.
And people need to get in touch with who they are, which is, you know, which is the all about you, or one of the areas of life of all about you is understanding what is right for me.
Yeah.
And asking yourself the questions, not asking other people, asking you, what is fair here? What is right for here? What can I actually live with for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, a lot of people will go through a divorce and one party will come out so badly that they may even take their own life.
Yes.
Now, if you're on the other side of that negotiation and that happened, would you really feel like a winner?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You'd have to be a big narcissist or something else if you actually did after it, now, wouldn't you?
That's absolutely right, Karen. And it becomes even nastier when the little kids, you know, you hear of parents that, you know, just think, that's it, I'm going and I'm taking my kids with me.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It is horrible. Yeah. It is horrible. And that's why, you know, I think if people looked inside, if there was an introspective, you know, just thinking about where this is going, looking at the bigger picture, then we can shift mindsets. I have to reiterate, this doesn't work for every single person.
Yes.
But I'd say the majority of cases that end up in court don't even need to be there in the first place. Let's leave the courts. It's almost like an emergency section of the hospital. Let's leave it for the true emergencies.
I love that. So now we're running out of time as always. So, and I love what you do. I think it makes such a difference. So how, we always ask our guests to give a little gift for our viewers. So what is it that you'd like to give our viewers today, Nadia?
You know, Karen, I actually couldn't decide between the two gifts, so I'm thinking of presenting both to your viewers. I'd love to give both.
Okay, what are they? Two gifts? Wow.
Yeah. So one of them is actually how to get the best out of your family law appointment, and it's three checklists in one, just to help you preparing the best for that appointment and making sure you've got the best forward. And the other one's called an estate mapping guide. So if you've got your will in place, but you've got subscriptions, memberships, real estate property, bank accounts, how will the executor know where to go? So this puts all of that in the one place. So you're
that is such a great idea. My son passed away 7 years ago without a will, and thanks to his girlfriend, she had a lot of the stuff we could put together. But I'm sure a lot of people would be going, where do I start? What's even their passwords to their computer? You know what I mean?
Exactly right. And I actually had, the reason I started thinking about this is because I had a client who all his family is overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in South Africa and London and Greece and, you know, and I was thinking, how would they even know what you've got in here if you didn't have that checklist in place?
Yeah, that's great. And would that stay with a lawyer, or would it, like, or you just give your family and just say, look, this is my checklist?
Absolutely. I would actually recommend you keep it with both people. So yep. With a lawyer as well as with your family. Or you can even just tell your family if anything happens, check this drawer or check
okay.
this link.
Yeah, yep. that perfectly makes sense. That's lovely. Well, Nadia, I love talking to you, and I know that you are married and you have a couple of boys. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
So I'm pretty sure that you and your husband are always negotiating on making sure that you're living the best life. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, you know. Yeah, and we always try to think about the bigger picture, because at the end of the day, you know, where you're looking at in the 5 years makes a lot of things in the current. It really puts perspective on what's happening currently. So
I totally agree. And, you know, and most people say, what you're fighting about today will you really care about in 5 years' time? Exactly. And most people will go, no. Who would give a crap about you doing a cover like you? You would have changed it probably 5 times by then.
That's absolutely right.
Now, we have all of your details below this video, and also people can get in contact with you. So you do people outside the Hills area as well. Is that correct? You online with people?
That's correct, yep. So we're called Hills Family Lawyers because we started in the Hills, and I just love this part of the world.
Oh, that's nice. And you've got to admit, like, anywhere in Australia is absolutely beautiful. We're very blessed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And but we help anyone in Sydney, and we even have interstate clients from Melbourne and Brisbane if the other party is in Sydney.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes, that totally makes sense. Okay, well, thank you, Nadia. I have so enjoyed chatting with you today.
My pleasure, Karen. Thank you for your time. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks. Bye. And that has been another episode of Live Love by Design TV. Wasn't Nadia amazing? Don't you love the fact that you can actually have a family law lawyer actually working towards a win-win situation for everyone? Not a win-win situation where the lawyers win and the two people who once loved each other both come out of it very bitter, resentful, and not really learning or growing from the situation. That's right. That's exactly what Live Love by Design and Live Love by Design TV is all about, assisting you to actually embrace all of areas of your life. The whole four pillars, all about you, all about your relationships, all about your expertise, and all about your wealth creation. A place where you truly can learn to live and love each and every day, to love who you are, to love your life, and to create your dreams faster. Thank you again for watching, and I look forward to seeing you real soon on another episode of Live Love by Design TV. Thank you.